This is the DX Audio Service for May 1986. Hello, I'm Fred Volby reporting. And on this edition of the DX Audio Service, we'll have Jerry Starr with the AM Switch Column, FCC News, DX News, John Bowker with the Travelogue, and Mike Nitter with a look at what's going on at HQ. But first, let's go right over to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club, and tell you about a few things which are happening. First of all, the club needs your help. What we would like from you is reports of Cuban stations that you've been hearing at your location. Now, what we need is the frequency and, if possible, the station ID. We're not interested in the content of what was heard. Just be sure that it is a Cuban station that you're listening to and not one from Mexico, Central, or South America. Send your information on your Cuban station reports to Mike Nitter at the National Radio Club, Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024. And from Paul Swearingen, we have this note on a beverage deexposition. If you're planning on being in Southern California during the weekend of May the 10th and the 11th, why not join us at the Ironage Road Beverage site for a worldwide listening session? It's easy to find once you arrive at 29 Palms, drive approximately 26 miles east on California 62 to the Ironage Road turnoff, then drive north approximately 1.2 miles, and you're there. Bring everything you need. There are absolutely no facilities at the site, but you can expect clean air, a panoramic view of the mountains by day and the stars at night, and no QRM. Paul suggests normal camping gear, water, food, and an extra 12-volt battery, a 12-volt capable receiver, and perhaps some 1 to 2 foot stakes for building in a beverage antenna, and of course something to pound the stakes in with. The Southeast Beverage is pointed at downtown Bogota, and depending upon the number of DXers who show up, we plan to rebuild some others. Someone should be at the site as early as Friday evening. For more information on this beverage deexposition, contact Paul Swearingen at Post Office Box 4812, Panorama City, California, and the zip code is 91412-4812. If you have someone who can read this information to you, it might be worthwhile contacting Universal Shortwave Radio as they have their new catalog out. It's catalog number 8603. It's available for $1 and refundable with any purchase. New products include the Japan Radio NRD 525 and the Infotech M6000, as well as many new publications and accessories. You can write to Universal Shortwave Radio at 1280 Ada Drive in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Zip code is 43068. Also available for taking orders only is Fred Osterman's new toll-free number, which is 800-431-3939. Alaska, Hawaii, and Ohio use area code 614-866-4267. We'd also like to remind you to listen to HCJB's DX Party Line at 0230 UTC Saturday night for the AM Interlude program with Wayne Heinen. Other stations carrying National Radio Club items, such as the DX Audio Service reports, include Radio Earth, Radio RSA, WHRI, and, of course, KCBI. And be sure to listen for Glenn Hauser's World of Radio over KCBI and WRNO Worldwide. Several issues back, I asked for some schedules for shortwave programs which cover information on DXing, and recently I received a letter from one of our listeners here at the DX Audio Service on a few stations which do carry DX programs, and I'd like to read those to you right now. I don't know how accurate this information is. I haven't had a chance to listen to some of these broadcasts here in Lima, Ohio, and don't know how the reception would be, so you'll have to just give these a shot sometime. And, of course, I don't know exactly what the content is, if they carry information on broadcast band DXing or not. Starting with Saturday, WRNO Worldwide has World of Radio at 030 UTC on 7355. Of course, World of Radio is Glenn Hauser's program. at 2136 UTC. Radio Canada International has the Shortwave Listener's Digest, which is broadcast on 11960, 11945, 15150, 15325, 17820, and 17875. HCJB has DX Party Line at 0230 UTC Saturdays at 6230-9870. And WRNO rebroadcasts World of Radio at 0400 UTC on 6185. On Sundays at 1400 UTC, WRNO broadcasts World of Radio with Glenn Hauser on 9715. This program, I do know, is heard here in Lima, Ohio with great signal strength, so this probably would be your best shot, at least if you live in the Midwest. At 1830 UTC, KCBI has radio connection. This is heard on 11950. At 2306 UTC Sunday, Radio Canada International has Shortwave Listener's Digest. This is heard on 9755 and 11710. And then an hour later, it's repeated on 5960 and 9755. Mondays, KCBI has radio connection at two times, 1900 UTC and 2000 UTC. The 1900 UTC broadcast is on 11735, and the 2000 UTC broadcast is on 11790. HCJB's DX Party Line can be heard at 2130 UTC on 15270 and 17790, and at 0230 UTC can be heard on 6230 and 9870. On Tuesdays, HCJB has DX Party Line at 0630 UTC on 6230, 9870, and 11910. KCBI has radio connection at 1900 UTC on 11790. Radio Canada International has Shortwave Listener's Digest at 1910 UTC on 15260 and 17820. And Radio Canada, KCBI has radio connection at 2000 UTC on 11790. Moving now to Wednesday, KCBI has radio connection again at 1900 and 2000 UTC. Both those are on 11790. HCJB's DX Party Line can be heard at 2130 UTC on 15270 and 17790, and at 0230 UTC on 6230 and 9870. On Thursdays, HCJB's DX Party Line can be heard at 0630 UTC on 6230 and 9870 and 11910. KCBI's radio connection can be heard at 1900 UTC on 11790, and then Radio Netherlands Media Network program is heard at 0130 UTC on 6020 and 9895. And finally, KCBI has a radio connection at 1900 UTC and 2000 UTC, followed by Glenn Hauser's World of Radio at 2100 UTC, and this is heard on 11790. And Radio Sweden's DX Guide to Computing, which obviously is about computers, can be heard at 0400 UTC Fridays on 9695. And those are the DX programs which were sent to us. And not knowing exactly which programs can be heard here in the Midwest, other than the one I listen to, WRNO's World of Radio at 1400 UTC Sundays, which I get very good here in Lima, Ohio. I don't know how many of the other programs you could hear and whether or not they carry information about medium wave DX or not. But give those a listen. And be sure to copy that information down. We probably won't repeat it until the next couple editions of the DX Audio Service. I'd like to remind you not to forget about the Labor Day Convention, the 1986 National Radio Club Convention being held in Delaware. Hopefully on the next edition, we'll have Dave Schmidt on with some information about the particular convention and what's going on. And hopefully we'll have some information about the 1987 National Radio Club Convention, which is being held right here in Lima, Ohio. Well, it's time now to take a look at the AM Switch column, which is edited by Jerry Starr of WHOT Radio, 401 North Blaine Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. And here's Jerry with a look at the AM Switch column. Hi, this is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. We only have one AM Switch column to bring you this month due to the fact that the publication schedule for DX News has changed from its winter weekly schedule to its summer monthly schedule. Here's what we have in edition number 121 of AM Switch, starting as always with call letter changes. On 7:30, WCXR in Alexandria, Virginia, who seems to want to change their calls about once a month, is now becoming WKLR. On 800, WEAB in Greer, South Carolina, changes to WPJM. 820, long-standing call in Chicago, Illinois, WAIT, will change to WCZE. On 1000, KKOS in Vista, California, another one of the members of the monthly call letter change club, they'll be changing to KVSD. On 1010, WKQT in Garyville, Louisiana, becomes WCKW. On 1150, KKMJ El Paso, Texas, changes to KEZB. On 1220, WSCR in Hamden, Connecticut, becomes WNNR. 1230, KDLK Del Rio, Texas, becomes KLKE. On 1260, WBBQ Diebold, Texas, changes to KAFX. 1300 WTKC in Lexington, Kentucky will be WLXG. Two changes on 1410, WXQT Grand Rapids, Michigan changes to WKTH, and KVEG in North Las Vegas, Nevada becomes KFMS. 1430 KELI Tulsa, Oklahoma changes to KVLT. On 1520, a new station in Camdenton, Missouri will be KCZQ. On 1540, WPJM, Adamsville, Tennessee changes to WEAB. And on 1550, KEWI, Cape Girardeau, Missouri becomes KKPE. And that will wrap up call letter changes. Here's a look at applications for new stations. Some of these applications are actually reapplications. Ones that were submitted once before but were returned by the FCC for one reason or another. Other ones are new first-time applications. They include on 740, Buckley, Washington. On 820, Falcon, Colorado. On 880, Oviedo, Florida. On 890, Gladstone, Missouri, Smithville, Missouri, and Dublin, Virginia. On 1020, Homestead, Florida, and Ringgold, Georgia. 1400, Marlboro, New Hampshire. 1410, Socorro, New Mexico, and on 1420, Bernalillo, New Mexico. Three new stations have been granted. They include on 1190, Royal Palm Beach, Florida, a kilowatt day and night U2. One that is the final result of a hearing which has lasted about 4 years, since there were nearly a dozen applicants for this allocation. It's been narrowed down to one, and the grant has been made for a new station in Chicago, Illinois on 1200. It'll be 10,000 day, 2500 night U4. And on 1270, new station in Baxter, Minnesota has been granted. It'll be 5,000 day and night U2. That grant was made after KPRM in Park Rapids, Minnesota, finally made the long-anticipated move to H70. Here are some highlights of applications from existing facilities. On 710, KUET in Black Canyon City, Arizona, applies for 50,000 day, 4,500 night U4.
This station had a CP for full-time before, but never used it, and now they are applying for another one. On 990 WYAT, New Orleans, Louisiana would like to raise day power to 1,100 watts and add 400 watts at night, non-directional day and night. 1310 WGSP, Charlotte, North Carolina would like to go full-time by adding 1,600 watts at night and changing their antenna to U2. And on 1570 WVVW, St. Mary's, West Virginia, which many of us heard very recently on a DX test, would like to move to 630 with 500 watts non-directional daytime only. A couple interesting grants to existing facilities on 1150 WMST in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, has been granted a move to 1160, where they will be full-time with a kilowatt day and night and a U4 antenna. And on 1190 WWLD in Pinecastle, Skylake, Florida, is raising their power to 5,000 watts, and they will remain daytime and non-directional. And scanning down through news from all over the broadcasting business in our Otherness column, on 750 WRGE in Oliphant, Pennsylvania, was granted an extension of a CP for new station until March the 20th. Now, since that day has more than passed, we can assume either the station is on the air or will be soon applying for another extension. On 870 KAIM in Honolulu, Hawaii, twice now this station, thinking they had found a loophole in the communications law, had applied for a power increase to 100,000 watts. That's correct, 100,000 watts, twice what is allowed stations in the United States right now, AM stations anyway. Well, that application, no surprise, has been dismissed again. On 1020, an application for new station in Blythe Wood, South Carolina has been dismissed. 1050, KOFY in San Mateo, California was silent. That station is now back on the air. On 1170, the Cornwall, New York station, WVSG, which has been in almost every AM switch for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is back again. The station has been on the air, then off the air, then on the air again. It appears they do not seem to be maintaining any kind of a regular schedule. Also on 1170 WXLA in Diamonddale, Washington, although it's spelled Dimmondale, it's pronounced Diamonddale. This station is still on 1170. We talked to the manager of the station, who says they have no plans to move to 1180, which was a CP granted to them several years ago. On 1190, applications for new station in both Port St. Lucie and Silver Springs, Florida, those have been dismissed. On 1200, application for new station in Melrose Park, Illinois, that was dismissed in the same action that granted the new Chicago station on 1200. Also on 1200, WDCQ in Pine Island Center, Florida, that new station is now on the air. Studios, by the way, are in Cape Coral. For those of you who, like the rest of us, have not been able to even find Pine Island Center on a map. On 1210 KPRZ, San Marcos, California, this new station is also on the air with a religious format. On 1230 WENY, Elmira, New York, application to move to 1200 is dismissed. On 1270, an application for new station in Buell, Minnesota, that has been dismissed also. 1280 WMRO, Aurora, Illinois, application to move to 1200, dismissed. 1340 KLVR, Heber City, Utah, application to move to 1210, has been dismissed. On 1410 WATD in Brockton, Massachusetts, this station that was silent as WAMK is now back on the air. 1530 WCKY Cincinnati, Ohio. You probably read in the papers or saw on the TV news about the swarm of tornadoes which recently passed through the Cincinnati area and may have wondered if there was any damage to radio facilities. The only one we know of was WCKY, who lost two of their three towers in their antenna system out near the airport in Kentucky. They are currently and temporarily operating with a non-directional antenna system at night. On 1550 KISK, Reno, Nevada, the station has been granted another extension of CP to August the 29th, and I believe, if our records are correct, this is the last extension they can get, so they have to have that station on the air by August the 29th. And on 1590 WAWA in West Allis, Wisconsin, application to move to 1200 was also dismissed. And that about wraps it up for this edition of AM Switch, from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. I'm Jerry Starr for the DX Audio Service. Now here's Fred.
Thank you very much, Jerry. The next article comes from Washington and Associated Press. It's entitled, FCC Considers Changes on a Wide Range of Rules Governing AM Broadcasting. It's written by Bill McCloskey, who is an Associated Press writer, dated the 3rd of April, 1986. The Federal Communications Commission announced Thursday that it is considering a revamping of many of the rules governing AM radio broadcasting. Mark S. Fowler, the FCC chairman, said it may be the first step toward drastically cutting government regulation of radios, saying at some point, the day will come when we'll regulate only technically. The public was asked to comment on a wide range of proposals before July the 1st. The FCC said it would act soon after that on some of the most pressing problems of AM. With almost 10,000 radio stations on the air in the United States, the commission staff concluded in a report that listeners might be better served if some interference protections designed when equipment was not as reliable and when the few stations that were broadcasting had to reach rural areas that otherwise had no service. The report suggests that it might be time to get broadcasters to improve their transmission towers, manufacturers to make better AM receivers, and time to force those who make other products from electrical shavers to light dimmers and fluorescent lights to build them so they don't cause noise on nearby radios. The report suggests increasing a station's reach by allowing it to use a series of transmitters scattered around a metropolitan area where interference problems would prevent the station from using more power to reach a larger audience. The technical disparity in the quality of AM and FM receivers can be overcome to a substantial degree, the report said. The staff also suggested that the commission might accept proposals to modify the rule that newspaper owners can't own a radio station in the same market, but the report said the staff did not think a rule change was necessary. Fowler raised the possibility that a single owner might be allowed to control more than one AM station in the city. The commission staff also used the report to send a signal to Motorola and Con Communications, the two companies that produce AM stereo equipment. It suggested that the FCC could support a request to the Justice Department that antitrust waivers be granted to allow the two to develop a single compatible system. Left to the marketplace, as it has been since the FCC refused to select an AM stereo system as a standard for the industry, AM stereo has been very slow to develop.
Hi, friends. This is Mike Dukin talking to you from Ladysmith, Wisconsin for the DX Audio Service. And a couple of things I'd kind of like to lay on you just a little bit here. First of all, the April Fool's edition was a real gas. I thought that the humor and the production on it was very good, and really enjoyed the April Fool's edition very much. One of the things I've been monitoring around here is what you might call the end of an era. A few of my friends and myself have discovered this, and what I'm talking about is no more English on XERF in Mexico. As some of you might know or have been able to pick up, XERF is now all in Spanish, and they seem to have cut back. This seems to have been a gradual thing. They seem to have cut back on a lot of their English programming towards the middle of January, and beginning their Spanish programs earlier into the evening, like 10, 11 o'clock at night. Now they seem to be all in Spanish, but as long as we're talking about XERF, I got a little something for old time's sake. And this I caught the second weekend in January.
Join us again tomorrow at this same time for another broadcast. XERF in Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico is the station to which you are now listening to. This is your good neighbor along the way, Paul Bellinger from Del Rio.
Some good old blues from XERF. No more English programming from Del Rio. This next item, Jerry Starr will probably mention in a few of the next AM switch columns, but WAIT in Chicago has definitely changed their call letters and their format. WAIT 820 is now known as WCZE, and they call themselves the new Cozy 820 playing an automated adult contemporary format. That's what they're up to now. Well, that's kind of it from here. This is Mike Dukin from Ladysmith, Wisconsin, reporting for the DX Audio Service. I'll leave you with one more ID now. This is a rarity. You don't hear this very often, but we'll leave you with this.
This is 50,000 watt WLS, ABC owned in Chicago, broadcasting on 890 kilohertz and microwave link KVK75, operating on 951 megahertz. We now temporarily leave the air to return later this morning with more of Chicago's favorite music.
And as WLS fades off into the sunset, it's time now for Mr. John Bowker with a look at the travelogue, if we can get John to play some of his montage of IDs. John?
Oh, sure, Fred. I'd be delighted to play a few more of these IDs, disjointed as they are. Tell you what we'll do. We'll move toward New Jersey this time. These, as I say, they're all over the place. Let's see, I'm not exactly sure what's coming up, but if I look through my list here... Yeah, we'll have an old 1300 ID out of Trenton, New Jersey, 1260 out of Trenton, 1170 out of Wheeling, West Virginia. I have to let your imagination go on a few of these and some of the others. I hope you enjoy them. This is the March DX Audio Service disjointed travelogue. Let's see what it sounds like.
On WBUD Trenton.
J. Trenton, the rock and soul of Central New Jersey at 1300.
This is WWVA AM FM, Wheeling, West Virginia, a Screen Gems radio station.
WBAL in Baltimore.
This is where you hear the Minnesota Twins during the 74 Major League season.
From WHO Des Moines, 2 minutes after 9 o'clock, 76 degrees in downtown Des Moines.
You're listening to the
now, that would have been about, 10 o'clock at Princeton Junction, New Jersey.
Phillies baseball from Met Stadium at 7:30 this evening.
Dial 1-4-2-0.
Oh, it's that time, by golly, for the phone phantom program today.
At 1460 on your AM dial. We'll be waiting for you. And in the meantime, take good care of yourself, sunshine. This is Fran Stone. I wish you love.
My Trade and Sell is brought to you Monday through Friday on WJJZ from 2 until 3 p.m.
WJJZ, Mount Holly.
This is WRCP AM and FM in Philadelphia, 3 o'clock.
Good morning, world. I am George Mathias Condon, WHWH Music. This is Dave Loggins. Please come to Boston.
This is WTMR Camden, the time, 6 o'clock.
WPIC Sharon, a regional group station.
WEOL Elyria, Radio 93, with studios in Elyria and Lorraine. The time, 8 a.m.
158 WCRB, Washington. WCRB, Washington.
And if you can't find anything there, come on over to my place and I'll...
AD Radio, weekends filled with memories.
This is WVPO AM and FM in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Well, that sure is a lot of fun, listening to some of those old IDs, a couple of the stations not on the air. WJJZ has been off the air now for years in Mount Holly, New Jersey, and a couple of false attempts to put a station back on the air at 1460. They've all fallen through on the AM dial, at least here in central New Jersey. But still in all, as I say, it's fun putting these IDs together for you, and we'll look forward to doing it another time. For the March DX audio service, however, I'm John Bowker. You have a beautiful month, and we'll see you in about 30 days.
Thanks very much, John. And, of course, that was part two of the March 1986 travelogue. And in 30 days, as John said, he'll have another travelogue here on the DX audio service. From the Chicago Sun-Times, February 25th, 1986, comes the story, Winston Shines, Lou Jack Declines at 89 WLS. After only 2 months on the job, friend Winston has settled in comfortably as morning man on WLS 89, but the radio legend he replaced, Larry Lou Jack, appears to be having some trouble in his new role as afternoon jock. That's a message contained in the Arbitrend's audience rating release yesterday, covering the November through January survey period. The report shows WLS having slipped slightly since the fall Arbitron survey from 6th place with a 4.1 share overall to 7th place with a 3.7 share. Especially surprising was for the crucial morning drive time slot. Winston had held the identical 5.0 share he had inherited from Lou Jack. Many observers had expected Winston's ratings to decline, a phenomenon that accompanies any disruption of radio listening habits. The only performer who posted even more noteworthy ratings was WLUP-FM's morning man, Jonathan Brandemir. His record high 5.7 share and third place finish put Brandemir behind only Wally Phillips on WGN and All News WBBM. As for Winston's early success, it probably can be attributed to his considerable name recognition after 15 years in Chicago radio, his well-honed delivery and double entendre humor, and the exceptional on-air chemistry he enjoys with newscasters Catherine Johns and Jim Johnson. Despite some early jitters and adjustments, Winston and company now seems headed for a long, happy run. Not quite as fortunate, maybe Lou Jack, who gave up the morning grind after 10 years only to find himself in the inevitable position of succeeding Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer on the 2:30 to 7 p.m. shift. In the brief time Lou Jack has worked afternoon, WLS has fallen from first place finish in a 7.8 share of Dahl and Meyer's last rating book to a second place in 6.1. All things considered, Lou Jack may be sorry that he never made good on his Thanksgiving Day's threat to ram Dahl's head against the wall.
I feel good!
That's it for this side of the DX audio service. We'll see you on side two with a look at the Domestic DX Digest column and, of course, Phil Wayne with a look at Akron, Canton, Ohio.
Radio Cucha San Antonio.